ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 11, titled Lord Krishna's Entrance into Dwaraka. Text number 2. Sauchakashe Thavalodarodaro
Sauchakashe Thavalodarodaro
Apirukramasya Dharasho Nashonima Dathmayamana Karakanja Sampute Yathapcha Khande Kalaham Sautsana Saha
That
Uchakashe
became brilliant.
Dhavala Udaraha
White and fat
bowl. Daraha
Conchal
Api
although it is so
Urukramasya
of the great adventurer
Athara Shona
by the transcendental quality of his lips
Shonima
reddent
Dasmayamanaha
being sounded
Karakancha Sampute
being caught by the grip of the lotus hand
Yatha
as it is
Abja Khande by the stems of lotus flowers
Kalahamsaha
ducking swans
Utsvanaha
loudly sounding.
Loudly sounding.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The white and fat bowl conchal being gripped by the hand of Lord Krishna and sounded by him appeared to be reddened by the touch of his transcendental lips. It seemed that a white swan was playing in the stems of red lotus flowers. Purport. The reddened of the white conch shell due to the lip touch of the Lord is a symbol of spiritual significance. The Lord is all spirit and matter is ignorance of the spirit. The Lord is all spirit and the matter is ignorance of the spirit, this spiritual existence. Factually, there is nothing like matter in spiritual enlightenment. And the spiritual enlightenment takes place at once by the contact of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. The Lord is present in every particle of all existence. And he can manifest his presence in anyone by ardent love and devotional service to the Lord, or in other words, by spiritual contact with the Lord, everything becomes spiritually reddened, like a conch shell in the grip of the Lord. And the Paramhamsa, or the spiritually, supremely intelligent persons, place the part of the ducking swan in the water of spiritual bliss, eternally decorated by the lotus flower of the Lord's feet. Om Jnana Timiranthasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dradati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padagamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajadam Sahagana Raghunathanitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam
Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsya He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpade Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishakhanvusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchagatpadarubhyasya Kripasindhukhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna So we had a series of festivals last couple of days. So here is also about a festival. In one sense, end of one festival and the beginning of another festival. So the Lord is departing from Hastinapur, and there was a festival to a farewell procession where all the Pandavas and all four different kinds of armies were assembled. And finally, the Lord departed to Dwaraka. And now the Lord has reached Dwaraka, and there is a grand welcoming ceremony for the Supreme Lord. So that is the description given in this chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. So the chapter itself is titled, The Lord Krishna's Entrance into Dwaraka. So we can see on one side, the Pandavas and all the subjects of that kingdom are feeling separation from the Lord because the Lord has departed. Now here, the separation of the Dwarakavasis are coming to an end because the Lord has just arrived. And here, there is a nice description about how the Lord is blowing the conch shell. So it is a very vivid description, the touch of the Lord's lips with the conch shell. Now in the spiritual existence, there is always festivals. So whether it is appearance or disappearance, both are festival. It could be an Avirbhav Mahotsav or a Tirodhan Mahotsav. Avirbhav means appearance. So now we had a couple of appearance celebrations. One was obviously our Janmashtami, and also the appearance of Srila Prabhupada, a pure devotee of Krishna. So this is an opportunity for all of us to take part in such a festival to enliven ourselves in Krishna consciousness. So even in terms of chanting, it is mentioned, if one's chanting is very, very poor, and if one cannot actually pick that up at all, one is very lethargic about devotion service, and the chanting is going down and down. So it is mentioned that one should take shelter of such festivals, like Janmashtami, Srila Prabhupada's appearance, or Snan Yatra, Dhilan Yatra, or one should take part in these festivals. One shouldn't be just a spectator, like, you know, just coming, visiting and just going back. Generally we see some of the guests just come to the temple room, they come through and just take darshan and go. That's it. Even a normal day and a festival day. And devotees means we are meant to be part of the temple. So we have to be part of the festival. Then, by that mercy of the Supreme Lord, we make progress. We get to the next step, like that. So that is the beauty, that is the significance of festival. And here, one festival we saw was the Lord has departed, and now the Lord has arrived in Dwaraka, His entrance into Dwaraka. And there is a great celebration by the residents of Dwaraka. It is quite different from even the farewell celebrations of the material world. So sometime people could be retiring from work, then there is a farewell ceremony.
or one is, you know, one is jumping from one job to the next. Sometimes, nowadays it is very rare, but previously there used to be some farewell, you know, kind of a farewell celebration. But in reality, it is a very impersonal way of celebrating such a farewell, because there is no real affection for such a person. It is just a matter of formality, and people are just interested in food and drinks. No one is interested in the person. If there is some nice food and there is some nice drink, then everything is fine. But as such, there is no personal relationship, or there is no real affection for such a person. So that is a kind of farewell parties of this world. And it is very difficult even for us to fathom what kind of separation the devotees like Pandavas feel for the Lord, and what kind of happiness the residents of Dwarka would feel when the Lord arrives into Dwarkapuri. Now, sometimes even in cultured families, there is a Vedic system. Generally, they emphasize if somebody is going away from home, the whole family assemble, and you know, they at least go till the car, or you know, bid farewell, okay, like that. So there is such kind of a custom, such kind of a culture in the Vedic societies. So here there is a perfection of such a culture, because the Lord Himself is arriving in Dwarka. In fact, I was thinking, even in relationship between different countries, in bilateral relationship, these kind of protocols are being followed. So if a big person, say a prime minister or a president of a country, is visiting another country, there are certain protocols to be followed. Otherwise the country gets offended. So there has to be a guard of honor. If a prime minister is coming or a president is coming, there has to be a guard of honor. And the whole soldiers, they do assemble, and there has to be the prime minister or the equivalent from the country has to be present in that guard of honor. These are in fact rituals. Even in a relationship between countries, these are rituals. So rituals are not just restricted to the spiritual culture. There are social etiquettes, there are social culture. However, in the spiritual circle, and ultimately in the spiritual world, there is exact artistic precision, and there is spiritual culture that is being followed. And that is the reason, even when we are practicing as devotees, there are some etiquettes that we have to follow. Because the spiritual world, there are etiquettes. And Vrindavan, these etiquettes are followed spontaneously. We don't have to be reminded all the time. We have to go through the Vaishnava etiquette courses. And even after going through that course, still we do many things in many different ways. So we had to be reminded again and again about our etiquettes and how to do things. Whereas in the spiritual world, it is very natural. The art is very natural, as it is mentioned. Katha ganam nrityam gamanam api vamshi priya sakhi. So katha ganam. Katha means each and every word is just like a song. That is spiritual world. And natyam gamanam, that is every step is a dance step. Api vamshi priya sakhi. And the flute is a favorite attendant, because the devotees are invited by the Lord by the sound of the flute, Venu, Madhuri. So this is spiritual world. So spiritual world, everything is happening in a spontaneous way, in a natural way, in an organic fashion. So here we are kind of preparing ourselves to be part of the festival, to be part of the spiritual culture. So we are getting trained. Now here, the purport starts that with the redness of the white conch shell due to the lip touch of the Lord is a symbol of spiritual significance. So here is a very important point. We will see how it is so significant, the touch of Lord's lips to this white conch shell. The Lord is all spirit, and matter is ignorance of the spiritual existence. So this sentence is contrasting two energies of the Lord, two aspects of the Supreme Lord. One is the spiritual energy of the Lord. The Lord Himself is completely spiritual. And on the other side, the material existence, which is just forgetfulness of the Supreme Lord and forgetfulness of spiritual existence. Now, it's mentioned, factually, there is nothing like matter in spiritual enlightenment. And this spiritual enlightenment takes place at once by the contact of the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna. So this sentence is very significant. I'll read again. Factually, there is nothing like matter in spiritual enlightenment, and this spiritual enlightenment takes place at once by the contact of the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna. So we can say our Krishna Conscious Society is working on this principle, whatever is given in this sentence. It has a very, very significant, very, very profound meaning. The reason is, the devotional service means we are getting in direct touch with Krishna, because there is no difference between Bhagavan and Bhakti. Bhakti is the energy of Krishna, Bhakti Shakti. So we are getting in direct touch with the Supreme Lord by being engaging in devotional service. So in the material world is about transformation. What kind of transformation? Transforming matter in one form to matter in some other form. So as it is mentioned here, in one sense there is something like ignorance. So one form of ignorance is converted into another form of ignorance. So that is material existence. And if you think about all the scientific advancement, it's actually just transformation of matter. One form of matter is being converted into another form of matter. Let it be a microphone, iPhone, iPad, MacBook, anything, PC, anything, whatever you pick. It is transformation of matter from one form to another form. And the scientific community is given credit for that purpose. So we have to understand that it is only in the realm of inferior energy of the Supreme Lord. One day I was asking a question to one of our helpers in Crossways. He was quite into physics. He's quite into quantum mechanics. So I asked some question regarding quantum mechanics. Then immediately he answered, "So you are asking me a question." So he was a bit proud, and he was mentioning to me, "So you don't get answer to these kind of questions from your Bhagavad Gita, isn't it?" So he wanted to prove that, you know, I have some superior knowledge, and you are studying Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam. So by those studies, you don't get answer to such kind of questions, such kind of elevated questions. But the point is, I had to tell, look, Bhagavad Gita only primarily deal with the superior knowledge. So whatever I asked is a question about the inferior knowledge. And there is not so much of details on the inferior knowledge in Bhagavad Gita. There is mention, of course, about the inferior knowledge, Bhumirapa, Anravayu, Kamano, Buddhirevacha. But the whole Bhagavad Gita is not dwelling upon the inferior knowledge of Krishna. We have something higher. So, Srila Prabhupada emphasized this principle of transformation, transforming matter into spirit. So when we say utility is the principle, it is nothing but transforming matter into spirit. In other words, using material objects in service of Krishna, in that way they become spiritualized. As Srila Rupa Goswami himself mentions in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Anasakta Vishaya Yathaham Upayunjadaha Nirbanta Krishna Sambandhe Yuktam Vairagyam Uchyate. So we are defining Yukta Vairagya. Yuktam Vairagyam Uchyate. So that is, Yukta means connected. Connected to what? Connected to the spiritual energy by being engaged in Krishna service. And that has to be performed without attachment. Nirbanta Krishna Sambandha. Nirbanta means without attachment. Krishna Sambandha. So when we say principle is the utility, we have to be careful that we don't get attached to that matter. We can use it in service of Krishna, but we cannot actually get attached to that. So it is meant emphasized. Nirbanta Krishna Sambandha Yuktam Vairagyam ucchyate. So Srila Prabhupada used all different kinds of material commodities in service of Krishna. He probably used microphone, and that time there was no internet. But now we are using internet in service of Krishna, email, anything. Whatever is available, we are using in service of Krishna. In that way, we are spiritualizing. However, we have to be very careful that we don't get attached to those things. That is a challenge, in one sense, the principle of utility. We can get attached and we can get addicted to those things. Say, for instance, one time, there was the introduction of, I think, telex machine. It was before fax, a telex machine that just came in the market, and devotees asked Srila Prabhupada, can we use this in service of Krishna being installed in all different temples? So we can communicate to one temple to the other temple very effectively. But Srila Prabhupada that time he discouraged. Prabhupada said no. Prabhupada said you will just gossip. Okay, this is happening here, that is happening there. So the whole purpose would be just gossip, prajalpa. So it become an extended prajalpa process. So we had to be very careful when we are transforming this material commodities in spiritual use, or transforming matter into spirit. We had to be very careful. Same with internet, same with email, same with Facebook. We had to be very, very vigilant. How diligently are we using such facilities? Are we really using in service of Krishna? Or are they actually controlling us? And are they wasting our time? Because many people say, I'm doing internet preaching. Are we doing actually internet preaching, or internet is preaching to us? We had to be very mindful about these things. So we had to be careful, so that we had to be emphasize this point in this verse, that is nirbandha krishna sambandha yuktam vairagya vichyate, nirbandha, unattached to those things. In fact, Srila Prabhupada was so profound, he was so amazing, that he could find utility for anything and everything in Krishna service. One time, there was one person distributing some flyers, Mayavad flyers. It's a flyer talking something about Mayavad lectures, stuff like that. So, he had, Srila Prabhupada and his disciples, they had a few bunch of these flyers. And Prabhupada actually collected those flyers. Whoever was distributing and whatever was left over, Prabhupada collected all these flyers, which was primarily inviting people to a Mayavadi function. So, impersonal function, non-devotional function. And all the devotees observed Prabhupada stacking all these flyers and taking with him. And everyone was wondering, Prabhupada, what is he doing with this kind of flyers? You know, that too, it's not even Vaishnava. And even if it's not just Karmi, it is Mayavad, which is against all devotional principles. And next day, interesting enough, devotees saw Srila Prabhupada, he was actually giving out prasad after a program. On these flyers, he had kept some prasad and he was distributing. So this is interesting, even such kind of a small thing, Prabhupada had proper use. He used in Krishna service. So apparently matter, and that he used in a wrong way, Prabhupada could use in the right way, in the absolute way. Similarly, even the body of a devotee, a pure devotee, is completely spiritual. So even though it looks material, there can be deformities, there can be disease, still such a body of a pure devotee has to be seen as completely spiritual. So this is the instruction of Srila Rupa Goswami in Nectar of Instruction. So Srila Rupa Goswami compares that to water of Ganges. It is mentioned there can be mud, there can be foam in the Ganges water. It can look, it's not clear, it's not pure. Still, it is mentioned, a devotee still takes bath in waters of Ganges. Understanding the spiritual significance of Ganges water. And nothing can really contaminate the spiritual potency of Ganges water. In the same way, the body of a Vaishnava, the body of a pure devotee, has to be treated completely spiritual. So there we can see, apparently it looks material, still it is completely spiritual. So we can say even pure devotees like Srila Prabhupada apparently manifested diseases. At some time you know, he couldn't even remember some verses. He could misquote some verse or misquote a line of the verse. So it doesn't mean that one can criticize. A pure devotee knows Krishna, so he knows everything. Yasmin vigyate sarvam vigyatam bhavati. That is, if one who knows Krishna, he knows everything. Still, even though Prabhupada, maybe he didn't remember one verse from Bhagavad Gita or he misquoted one verse from Bhagavatam, still one should see that he is completely spiritual. Also, on the other side, we could see that Srila Prabhupada himself said, when he reached America, he mentioned, I didn't know actually where to go, right or left, where to go, I didn't know. So does that mean that Prabhupada didn't know anything? He's not a pure devotee? No, it just means that his connection to Krishna is completely clear. He's completely fixed as a servant of Krishna. So for Prabhupada, there is no memory loss in that real, in the real self-realization, in the process of self-realization, understanding ourselves. A pure devotee of Krishna, in that position, Prabhupada has no doubt, there is no forgetfulness. But in the so-called superfluous things, apparently it looks like he can forget this or that. Still one has to understand, a pure devotee is completely fixed in Krishna. So, if we explain the point that a pure devotee knows everything, one has to understand a pure devotee knows everything means that he knows everything to serve Krishna. So Prabhupada didn't have any problem with that. We may know other details. We may remember some verses very nicely. We may know how to go turn right or left, how to exactly travel. We may know everything, but we have our major problem in remembering Krishna and to identifying ourselves as eternal servant of Krishna. We had trouble with that. So that's the difference between us and Srila Prabhupada. So we shouldn't misjudge the position of Prabhupada. And he could properly utilize material energy in service of Krishna, and also he could engage others in utilizing material energy in service of Krishna. Now, here it's a very interesting presentation is given, because here the conch shell is coming in touch with Krishna's lotus lips. Adhara, the lotus lips, is touching the conch shell. And it is mentioned the transformation that is taking place. So, we also have our process of transforming apparently matter into spirit. That is, offering of bhoga to Krishna. So when we are offering bhoga to Krishna, what happens? That bhoga is being in direct touch with Krishna. And it is being transformed into prasad, which is completely spiritual. So we are actually part of that affair day to day. And when we are offering now, just the offering is finished. So then that is the process. The bhoga, which is apparently matter, is being converted into completely spiritual. Now, how it can happen? For Krishna, there is no distinction between matter and spiritual. There is no distinction between matter and spirit. For him, everything is spiritual. We can be influenced by matter. We can be quite materialistic even in our devotion service. But as far as Krishna is concerned, for him everything is spiritual. And nothing can affect him as such. In the sense, the matter cannot affect him. So Prabhupada gives the example of a prison department. A prison department is just one another department of the government. Even one who works for prison department, they get the same salary as other departments, if not more. So from the perspective of a government, all departments are alike, because the food department is equally important and the prison department is equally important. Whereas one who is suffering in the prison, it looks completely different. That is, oh, I am in this prison, I am suffering, and the other department, that is better. But for Krishna, everything is same. In the same way, here we can say for Krishna, the matter and spirit are the same. And here, just being in touch with Krishna, Krishna's lotus mouth, there is some transformation that is taking place to this conch shell. So even in Krishna's appearance, we can see that there is a lot of transformations that is being taking place. Even to the climate, even to the rivers, even to the brahmanas, to the sages, to the demigods. Such a drastic change in the atmosphere. To talk about atmosphere, it is just opposite to what is taking place now. Because of the intervention of humans, there is only air pollution, acid rains, maybe global warming, drought, flood, etc. There is nothing auspicious. Everything is becoming inauspicious. Whereas Krishna's appearance, everything was becoming very auspicious. It is mentioned even the constellation became very auspicious. The Rohini constellation appeared in the sky. And the rivers were full. There was nice breeze. The birds were producing nice sounds. And brahmanas, they could light the fire. And even though there was breeze, still the fire was lighting very steadily. And they were chanting mantras. So the atmosphere changed completely in service of Krishna. In other words, all the directions and all the material elements were serving Krishna when the Lord appeared in this material world. So it is mentioned here in the 10th canto that the demigods and the great saintly persons showered flowers in a joyous mood, and the clouds gathered in the sky very mildly thundered, making sounds like those of the ocean's waves. Then the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu, who is situated in the core of everyone's heart, appeared from the heart of Devaki in the dense darkness of night, like the full moon rising on the eastern horizon, because Devaki was of the same category as Sri Krishna. So here it is mentioned that the Lord was just like the full moon. Prachyam Dishindu Riva Pushkala. Indu means moon, and Pushkala means which is complete. So Prachyam Dishi, on the eastern horizon, how the full moon appears, in the same way the Lord appeared in this world. So there is a significance to appearance of Krishna, and compared to full moon, the significance is that all other incarnations are considered different phases of moon. So it is not manifested completely. Whereas Krishna is complete. He is Shat Aishwarya Purna. He is complete in all respects, in all opulences. So when he appeared, it is just compared to the full moon. And when we use this paraphernalia in service of Krishna, we had to be very careful, because since they are in service of Krishna, they are also spiritual, they are spiritualized. So we have to respect them. We cannot touch even a tub which is used in service of Krishna, or a bucket used in service of Krishna, with our leg. We have to be very mindful. We see new people come, or people who are not yet devotees, they have general tendency to touch things with feet, kick things. But we can't do that. Because these things are being used in service of Krishna, so they are spiritualized. So we had to be very mindful. Sometimes, there can be, things could be quite cluttered, or maybe, just kind of cracked. Still, if we had to move around, we had to use our hand. We cannot use our feet. So we had to respect them. Sometimes it happens in cool room, so many things are stacked on the floor everywhere. So in the hand there are a few things, then, kick something with the leg and just move on. As devotees, we can't do that. We have to respect. Because the same principle, that is, the matter is being converted, transformed into spirit in service of Krishna. We have to respect. So, even in our devotional life, as Srila Prabhupada mentioned, being in touch with the Lord, being in touch with devotional service, we are being transformed. Prabhupada gives the example of iron rod when it is placed in the fire. it becomes just like the fire. Same principle applies to us. So we can become devotionally and enlivened. We can be spiritualized. Our consciousness can be completely spiritualized, being engaged in devotion service. So that's the reason these two lines we were reading out, it is so significant, because it is about transforming the material energy, it is about transforming our own existence into spiritual existence. Now here, the pastime is given that the conch shell touching the lotus lips. So what is this conch shell of Krishna? It is Panchajanya, right? Krishna's conch shell is Panchajanya. As we can, Panchajanyam Hrishikesho Devadatham Dhananjaya. That is from Bhagavad Gita. Very good. Very nice. So you have memorized nice, beautiful verse from Bhagavad Gita, Satchata. Yeah?
Thank you.
Very nice. So, Pamdram Dathmo Mahashankam Bhima Karma Vrukotaraha. Very good. So, where this Panchajanya is coming from? Actually, Panchajanya belongs to a demon. Right? After Krishna,
Maya.
Not Maya. He was in Maya. So, Krishna and Balaram, they had their education under Santipani Muni. So, after they were graduated, Santipani Muni asked, Krishna asked for Guru Dakshina. That is, what can I give as Dakshina to you? So, Santipani Muni requested, I had my son who died a while ago, so can you bring him back? So that my wife would also be very much pleased. So Krishna and Balaram, they went. First they went to the shore of the ocean near Prabhasa Kshetra. And there, they asked the ocean, can we get the son of our spiritual master? So the ocean said, I don't have your son, but a demon is in this ocean and he is creating all this trouble. And his name was Panchajana. So Krishna actually killed Panchajana, and this conch shell was part of his body. So the Krishna killed and he took this Panchajanya. So that's how this conch shell became Panchajanya. That which is born from Panchajan, this demon Panchajan. And he actually blew this Panchajan, and then actually Yamaraj came and gave the Santipani Muni's son to Krishna, and Krishna brought his son back and gave as a Guru Dakshina to his Guru Santipani Muni. So this was the pastime. So that's how this Panchajanya is coming from. So it can look, in one sense here we can see, one is material because it is coming from a demon, and it is being touched by the lotus lips of the Lord, and then it is being transformed into something which is spiritual. That is one way of looking at the situation. But on the other side, the Lord has eternally his conch shell, which is Panchajanya. So he has his conch shell all the time. We can see Lord Vishnu, we can always see Shankha Chakra Gada Padma. So he has his eternal conch shell with him, which is meant to bless his devotees. So two of his symbols, Shankha and Padma, are meant for devotees. And for demons, there is nice club is there, and chakra is also there. So this is how this Krishna's different paraphernalia is being used for devotees and for demons. Then the purport says that the Lord is present in every particle of all existence, and he can manifest his presence in anyone. So Prabhupada is making the point that for Krishna everything is spiritual, and the Lord is present everywhere, and he can manifest himself anywhere. So this is again very significant point. I was thinking about Janmashtami, about Krishna's appearance. So this point is again very, very significant, because I was reading a nice verse from the 10th canto with regard to Krishna's appearance just before the prayers by the demigods. It is Bhagavan Api Vishwatma Bhaktana Abhayankaraha Avivesh Avivesh Amsha Bhagena Mana Anaka Dundupehe. Thus the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supersoul of all living entities and who vanquishes all the fear of his devotees, entered the mind of Vasudev in full opulence. So here the word Vishwatma is used to show, indicate point number one, that he is present in everyone's heart, and also it means that he is the only lovable object for everyone. He is the only lovable object for everyone. On a materially, one person is lovable object for someone else, and the same person could be an enemy of someone else. But for everyone, who is the only lovable object? That is Krishna himself, who is known as Vishwatma. Now, the significant point presented in this purport is that the Lord is already there within the mind, and consequently, it is not astonishing for him to appear as if born from a devotee's body. So the significant point is that the Lord is present everywhere, and he is present in the mind of his pure devotee also. And when he wants, he can manifest in the mind, in the heart of such a pure devotee, as we can see here in case of Vasudev. Because the Lord's birth is such that he appeared in the heart, in the mind of Vasudev. That is Krishna's appearance. And here in the commentators, like Sridhar Swami mentions that it is to show that there was no need for discharge of semen. This is the opinion of Sripad Sridhar Swami. And the Lord Sanatan Goswami mentions that the consciousness was awakened within the mind of Vasudev. So in other words, the Krishna consciousness in its completeness, the Lord himself manifested in the heart of Vasudev. And further, we can see, of course, the Lord has been transferred to the heart of Mother Devaki. Now, in the purport, the next line says that, next line is again very significant. It explains how the Lord can manifest by his sweet will in the heart of a devotee. What is the process? So it is mentioned, by ardent love and devotional service to the Lord, or in other words, by spiritual contact with the Lord. So here, this sentence is very significant. The reason is, it is explained what is the meaning of spiritual contact. Because here again it is talking about contact of the Lord's lips to the white beautiful conch shell. So what is the meaning of this contact? So that is mentioned, that is the ardent love and devotion service to the Lord. So contact means loving devotion service unto the Supreme Lord. So the Lord manifested in the heart of his pure devotee by the ardent loving devotion service. So that is the secret of bhakti, as it is given in one of the chatushlokis. There are four seed verses in Srimad Bhagavatam. For these four seed verses were spoken by Lord himself to Brahma. So these four seed verses has the whole meaning, whole purport to whole Srimad Bhagavatam. The entire Bhagavatam is presented in nutshell in these four seed verses. And one of these verses is very significant, and that is actually presenting this truth. That is how the Lord can be captured by ardent love and devotion. So the verse is, Yatha mahanti bhutani bhuteshu cha avasheshu cha anu pravishyanti apravishtani tatha teshu na teshuham. So here the translation is, O Brahma, please know that the universal elements enter into the cosmos and at the same time do not enter into the cosmos. Similarly, I myself also exist within everything created, and at the same time I am outside of everything. It's a very cryptic verse if you are talking about love of Godhead, if you are talking about By loving devotion, the Lord Himself can manifest within the heart, or the Lord can manifest anywhere. To make that point, if we quote this verse, apparently it looks something different. Because I'll read again, O Brahma, please know that the universal elements enter into the cosmos, at the same time do not enter into the cosmos. What does that mean? It is mentioned that the universal elements are already present at the time of creation. Earth, water, fire, ether, etc. So many material elements are there. And these elements combine to form different material objects, including our body, mind, etc. So in one sense, these material elements are entering into creation, because our bodies are made of these material elements. And whatever objects that we are perceiving through our naked eyes or our different senses, they are manifestations of these material elements. At the same time, these material elements remain as it is. They have their own existence. So it is mentioned, on one side they enter, at the same time they do not enter. Because the material elements, they have their own existence. So this is the simultaneous existence, entering and not entering. Then next the Lord mentioned, I myself also exist within everything created, and at the same time I am outside of everything. So the Lord is present in everything as Antaryami, as Paramatma. He is there within the atom, in between the atom, He is there everywhere. At the same time, the Lord is present in Golok Vrindavan also. Goloka eva nivasat akhilatma bhuta. The Lord who is situated in everyone's heart is situated in Golok Vrindavan simultaneously. So it is mentioned, it's talking about the mystery of devotion service. So Prabhupada writes here, this mystery is transcendental love of Godhead. And one who is surcharged with such transcendental love of Godhead can without difficulty see the personality of Godhead in every atom and every movable and immovable object. This is the potency of bhakti, of pure devotion. They can perceive Shyam Sundar everywhere. There is paraphrasing a verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Stavara Jangama Dekhi. That is, if you see Stavara, that which is fixed, a jangama, that which is movable, a pure devotee sees Krishna in everything. And at the same time, he can see the personality of Godhead in his own abode, Golok, enjoying eternal pastimes with his eternal associates, who are also expansions of his transcendental existence. This vision is the real mystery of spiritual knowledge, as stated by the Lord in the beginning. Sa rahasyam angam cha. So this is this vision, realization of this is the real mystery of bhakti. And this is the mystery of love of Godhead. This is the mystery of prema bhakti. So we can see a pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada, he could perceive Sri Krishna everywhere. He could see the presence of Krishna everywhere. And he could also see in Golok Vrindavan, enjoying with his eternal associates. So this is the mystery of devotional service. So that is the secret by which a devotee could capture the Lord. The Lord could manifest in his heart, in his complete form. And Vasudeva. So then, Prabhupada quotes this verse also, Premanjana Chirita Bhakti Vilochanena Santa Sadeva Hridayeshu Vilokayanti Yam Shyama Sundaram Achindya Gunasurupam Govinda Madhipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. So when the eyes are anointed with love of Godhead, then he can see Shyam Sundar everywhere. So this is the potency of pure devotion. Then it is mentioned, everything becomes spiritually reddened like the conch shell in the grip of the Lord. So there is a transformation even to that conch shell. It has become reddened by the touch of the lips of the Lord. Same we can see when the Lord appeared in the heart, in the mind of Vasudeva, there was a transformation to Vasudeva, even though he was a pure devotee. The Lord had appeared even before as son of Vasudeva, but as Krishna, when he appeared, there was a transformation to Vasudeva. And what was that transformation? It is mentioned that while carrying the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, within the core of his heart, Vasudeva bore the Lord's transcendentally illuminating effulgence, and thus he became as bright as the sun. As bright as the sun. Next we can see when Vasudeva initiated Mother Devaki, that initiation from heart to heart, that was transferring Krishna from his heart to the heart of Mother Devaki. Then what happened to Devaki? She also became effulgent. She also became effulgent. Here we can see by the touch of Krishna, this conch shell has become reddened. Similarly, by the presence of Krishna in the heart of Mother Devaki, she also became most beautiful. It's mentioned, the cause of all causes within the core of her heart, just as the east became beautiful by carrying the rising moon. So that is the transformation. So even for devotees, when we are engaged in devotional service, we become effulgent. Prabhupada said, if you want to become actually beautiful, chant 16 rounds, follow 4 regulative principles and engage in devotional service. You become effulgent. Meaning, you are in touch with Krishna. Our process of being in touch with Krishna is just engaging in devotional service. Of course, in deity worship also we become in touch with Krishna. When we worship Saligram, it's an anga of Saligram worship is, we smell the Lord and touch the shila onto the forehead. When you do deity worship, we can touch our forehead to the feet of the Lord. So, of course, the physical touch is possible. But the mystery of devotional service is such that just being engaged in devotional service, we are in touch with Krishna. And then we are becoming transformed into spiritual existence. And finally, this purport is talking about a pure devotee, a Paramhamsa. The Paramhamsa, or the supremely intelligent person, plays the part of a ducking swan in the water of spiritual bliss, eternally decorated by the lotus flower of the Lord's feet. So a pure devotee, they are completely absorbed in serving the lotus feet of Krishna. Of course, we have to just think about the example of Srila Prabhupada himself, who was serving always lotus feet of Krishna. Prabhupada mentioned, there was never a time when I forgot Krishna. Meaning, Srila Prabhupada was in remembering Krishna all the time, and he was serving Krishna all the time. Even to the time when he was departing this world. Because even when he was departing this world, when he was on his deathbed, he used to quote this particular verse many times. A verse from Mukundamala by King Kulashekar. Krishna Todiya Pada Pangaja Panjaratna Adyevame Manasa Rajahamsa. So here, Prabhupada is quoting this verse, Manasa Rajahamsa. So again, it's mentioned that the mind is just like, as it's mentioned here, it's just like a ducking swan in the water of spiritual bliss. And the lotus flower of the Lord's feet. So lotus feet is considered, the feet of the Lord is always compared to lotus flower, and a swan is just like the mind of a pure devotee. So till the time Srila Prabhupada departed, all the time Prabhupada is in complete touch with Krishna, serving his lotus feet. And Prabhupada is repeating this verse again and again. And the import of this verse was that King Kulashekar is mentioning, his health is pretty good now, so let me depart this world now, so that I don't have to wait for the end of one's life when one's body becomes really weak and the throat completely chokes up with mucus and the whole body becomes diseased. Then it is very difficult to think about Krishna. So I am now healthy, let me think about Krishna and let me leave this world. So this was the mood of King Kulashekhar. So he mentions in Mukunda Mala Sotra. So Srila Prabhupada, in his final stage, he mentioned this verse. He was telling, I have to leave this world. And, you know, I am completely fixing my mind unto the lotus feet of Krishna. So this is the mood of a pure devotee, and they are eternally blissful serving Krishna's lotus feet. And the process of devotional service is inviting all of us to come to the platform where we can constantly serve Krishna. Because now we are practicing to serve Krishna. We are not fully engaged in Krishna service. We have our spare time. We have our time for Maya. Sometimes we are serving and sometimes we are in our own world. So by regulated devotional service, we can come to a spontaneous platform where there is some attraction. With that attraction, we can be more and more engaged in Krishna's service. So currently, it is so significant that we do our service nicely, we engage in our sadhana nicely, so we develop a taste where one can aspire to do devotional service all the time. So as we saw in this verse, we are seeing this transformation from matter into spirit and how we can use different material objects in service of Krishna and how one can be enlivened in Krishna service and think about Krishna. So I stop here and see if there are any questions, comments, corrections.
I heard Prabhupada say that in the material world, love manifests as one satisfying their own desires.
Mm.
Yeah. But Krishna's loving relationship with us is that he appears. So he's, in effect, giving us that love. And our loving reciprocation to him is to worship him, to offer him service.
Yes. Thank you, everyone.
Yeah. And that's true love.
Yeah. Anything else? Yes.
You had mentioned that hygiene, something is important, that you should not hygiene, sorry,
yeah.
The respect,
mm.
The feet,
yeah.
Should not touch to any, and you should,
yeah,
work with hands. Then my humble question is that in the kitchen we are allowed to wear shoes,
yeah,
that we walk outside elsewhere, and the same shoes get inside the kitchen. I personally, I don't know, I feel that we should have some sort of separate wear for the kitchen alone, footwear for the kitchen alone, which people can wear that and just remove it and reuse only the same footwear for the kitchen. So I don't know if I'm right or wrong in my thinking, kindly advise.
I think we had a.
You can bring your own shoes if you want. It used to be that people would be barefooted in the kitchen.
Mm.
Or there used to be sets of boots.
Mm.
But it's quite tricky because, you know, you can't all wear the same shoes. And it's safer to wear shoes, especially cooking those on these big pots, boiling water, you know. But certainly you're welcome to bring your own kitchen shoes. It's actually the best standard.
Mm.
But the temple's not going to provide shoes for everybody to come work in the kitchen.
Thank you.
But it's kind of not related to getting into your feet.
Thank you very much. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.